Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 8 of Geeking with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I'm a geeky mom. I've been geeking out for most of my life. I'm the mom of a six. She's almost done with kindergarten. Oh my God.
Crazy.
Hearing all the feels. I think the next week we record will be her last week of kindergarten.
Wow.
I am joined by fellow mom Regina McMenemy, who is the mom of a four-year-old. She's also from the Geek Embassy. I'm going to leave the Geek Embassy cred to you. I'm not going to go spouting my Geek Embassy stuff. No, honestly, I just forgot that I didn't say it. So Regina is head geek at the Geek Embassy. I just write for him. We're also joined by resident dad, Stephen Dutzman, who is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com and the father of three kids. Hey, Stephen.
Hi. Is it E3 yet? More appropriately, is E3 over yet?
Yeah.
Because I'm like tired. You. I'm tired already.
Oh, no. You're really in for it then.
Yeah. You're done.
Yeah. E3 is next week, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking it was the week after next, but
that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I would love another week.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm not going to prepare myself because Isaac's going. So I wasn't expecting that for another week, but well.
Oh, he's going?
Fine. Yeah, for a couple days.
Is he working or is he hanging out?
He's hanging out this year. He's hanging out this year.
Well, isn't that nice?
I mean, that's his thing.
That means
you know?
I can't. That means I can't go to his booth and get a T-shirt. That's the crappy part.
Well, you know, I mean, we could talk about this more in a minute, but Microsoft's not on the show floor this year, anyhow. But anyhow, we can discuss that.
Mixer
more
is
detail. What?
Mixer is, and Microsoft has their own thing. It's just down the hall. Yes. It's just down the street.
Yes, I'm just saying they're not on the show floor.
Yeah,
but, technically they're not on the show floor.
I mean, all right, so technicality. I mean, but they're still there.
Yes, I'm not saying they're not there. This actually though is the first year that they haven't been on the show floor because there's been lots of debates going around about how important E3 is anymore.
Spoiler, it's probably not.
Publishers. Right.
It's probably not.
7, yeah.
Yeah. So Regina and I just got some good news. Our Game of Thrones panel got approved for Geek Girl Con.
Yay!
To talk about Game of Thrones in front of an audience.
Yes.
Which actually be the first time that I've done that, believe it or not. So super excited about that. Geek Girl Con's at the end of October in Seattle. If you're in the area, you should come see us. What else has been going on? PAX West tickets went on sale and very promptly sold out.
Sold out, yeah.
We have tickets we didn't get a Saturday ticket, but we have tickets for the other 3 days. And Isaac's like, oh, we didn't get Saturday. And I'm like, yeah, we don't need 4 days anyhow. Like, I would stay home. Right. Like, last year I stayed home on Sunday anyhow because I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
So, so we'll be fine. But we did get tickets. So that's good because lots of times, like, you hear it fifth hand before you even have a chance to go try. So
yep.
Let's see, what else is going on? Not a lot. Everybody's been sick, which is why, listeners, apologies, which is why we haven't recorded an episode in a while.
Yeah.
It was a year and a half.
Yeah. What did you say, Stephen? A year
and a half. Like a year and a half. I mean, our super fans have had have had their fill of me, at least, because I fill in the gaps.
Right.
I just make sure whenever the three of us are down for the count, I manage and record far too many episodes. And I was on a lot of podcasts over the last handful of weeks, doing a press tour, basically.
Oh, look at you.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I did an episode of Game on Girl. Interviewing.
Who did you interview this time?
Matisse Fletcher from the Living Computers.
Right.
I listened to her. Listened to that one. It was very good. You need to. I would like it if you connected me with her.
Sure.
Because I would like to interview her, and in exchange, I will get you Amanda Farrow.
Okay.
I'm sure she would go on your show.
That deal.
And I have a few others that I think you may. I have some other people.
Awesome. I need.
Let's
I
get
need
your people. Calendar filled.
Yeah.
You know,
I need.
You know who would be a good guest on your show?
You.
Because I'm not a girl. And this came on girl. You could talk to my wife. That'd be interesting.
That'd be cool.
Largely because you've never spoken to my wife, so it'd be kind of interesting. Vaguely.
No, she was on. She interviewed me on your show.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
I was doing my book tour.
Yeah. So originally. Once. You know who would be good? Nicole Tanner.
Yeah, I know. Nicole's on my list of people to get on, but then she got sick. So.
Right. Yes.
I'm just saying. I think.
No, you know, I know. Just... I told her she was the first person I said, you know, we need to get this together so we can talk about your history writing for the game industry so we can have a little bit of the background here. So.
Yeah. Wait, she's written in the game industry before?
No.
Just a chat. One or two articles.
Just a couple of little. Yeah.
She freelanced a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a tad.
Just here and there.
Freelanced for somebody's free WordPress blog.
Yeah.
about war game, miniature war games.
Right. Yes.
And the babysitting mama review.
Right.
I have
Thanks
missed
for
this.
For reminding me about that, Stephen.
Oh, wait, you don't like being reminded of that? Let me make a note of this. I missed
it. It was painful. It was one of the most painful gaming experiences I have had in my life.
I will trade you that for playing 7 hours of Star Stables or whatever nonsense.
Right. Right.
And you did that to me, and I didn't even get paid for it. At least for Babysitting Mama, you got paid for it ostensibly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I almost forgot that I did that to you, Stephen.
Yeah.
Oh, still not sorry, though.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to be sorry because you are heartless. It's fine. There were a ton of video games
and stuff that
happened in the last 3 weeks.
Yes. Well, because we're leading into E3, so everybody's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to be talking about this, and we'll let you know a little bit.
Yeah. And it's the rush to get the attention before the show.
Yeah,
and to race the leaks. I really think a number of these announcements were people going, "Nah, this crap's gonna leak, yo. Let's just do it."
Yeah. So, some of the big ones. Well, I'm gonna skip ahead. So, from a family perspective, the big one is Pokemon Let's Go, which is a crazy new Pokemon game going to be playable on the big screen for the first time.
Yeah.
Correct, Steven? Is the first time?
Okay.
It's not been on a handheld?
Technically, no. There have been Pokemon games that have been playable on a big screen. However, this is the first time a Pokemon RPG-ish game is on a big screen. So I have to be laser precise with my language, but for all intents and purposes, this is still a huge deal. It's a role-playing game. It's not a core generation. It's not Gen 9, but it's still a very big deal. This thing's going to sell so much. It's going to sell so much.
So besides being on the big screen on the Switch, it's also couch co-op for the first time, and it also integrates with Pokemon Go. You can take what you catch in Pokemon Go and move it into your game, and you can also play with this little Pokeball thingamajig.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah,
how much are those? Have those been released? Did they release that with Pokemon Go or no?
No. Pokemon Go, they had the little bracelet thing,
right? Right,
and
yes.
That worked as one of those, by the way, for Pokemon Go. So what's awesome about that thing is it's only possible because Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which are the full names of the two games, are playable with one hand.
Right, yeah.
So, which is just so cool. Like, I mean, just a lot of the little decisions when they made this game were brilliant, right? Like little things that I never would have thought of, like making it playable with one hand so they can use this Pokemon controller. I just think that's super rad. The fact that it uses the Pokemon Go catching mechanics, there are millions of people who their first experience with Pokemon was Pokemon Go and they liked it, but know, they fell off of it because that's what you do with games.
Yeah.
Especially a game like that one that didn't really have a lot to it, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that there's going to be advertising where they're going to show you front and center, oh, you're just playing Pokemon Go on the Switch, and that by itself is enough that's going to get people. Man, it is a very good decision. I'm going to say it now. This would be one of the biggest games of the Christmas.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard to find.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about getting a Switch and this game, I actually think that just pre-order the game. Even if you're going to like get the Switch on layaway or figure out how to get that later, pre-order this game. It's going to be hard to find. That's my recommendation. I don't think they're going to make enough.
Yeah.
Especially if you want Pikachu.
Right. Yes. It's I think it's going to breathe some new life into Pokemon Go.
Oh, definitely. We're already, my son has already re-downloaded it on all of our phones and played it. Now it's already having an impact. It's having a small impact, right? Like it's a mind share thing.
Right.
But as soon as it's like close and you see the commercials and absolutely. It's going to, I don't know if it'll ever reach those same heights.
Right.
But I mean, it doesn't need to. A 5% bump on a game that makes $1 million a day is a lot of dollars, you know, like this is crazy.
Yeah.
So man, that is so rad. And my daughter, this is going to be her first Pokemon game.
Oh yeah. 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 Anna tried playing. We had Anna, she, for some reason, like I found an unopened copy of Pokemon Black, which I got
you did.
Somewhere. I think it was when I was doing, What They Play, which was part of IGN, because I didn't really play Pokemon, but we got, you know, copies of it. So I gave her that to play, and she wasn't quite, I mean, this was like a year and a half ago, so she wasn't quite there as far as being able to play it herself, because she couldn't read yet, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But she's totally, like, gonna love this thing, so.
Oh, yeah, this is gonna be perfect. Because it, you know, so I absolutely.
She loves Pokemon Go because still, whenever we travel, she's like, "Hey, mom, maybe there's some Pokemon here. We should look." So, like, and I have caught some really great Pokemon in airports, so I do have to give her credit there.
Airports and hotels have been the best places I've had the best luck.
Okay, so that game is coming in November. As Steven said, there are two versions of it. There's a Pikachu and an Eevee version.
Yep.
What else?
The other one, just get it. Just get it.
Other big game, at least in my opinion, that was announced recently is Fallout 76. It was announced in that it has a little teaser trailer with a cover of John Denver's Country Roads and lots of little Fallout stuff in a bedroom. And that's about all that it shows. The funny thing to me is that they had that live stream on Twitch going for, what was it, like a day of just a bobblehead sitting there?
The best part is they had 200,000 people watching it at one point. Right? And it was just a bobblehead. And at one point, someone from their PR had a Vault Boy puppet.
I didn't know.
And like this. Got onto the camera and started dabbing with the puppet. And you know what? It was genius because there were 200,000 people watching this stream.
Yeah.
Of nothing.
Nothing.
Right, yeah.
And it was, and it probably cost them $100.
Right.
To set that up. And, you know, like, I'm sure that maybe even less.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody just had to get a bobblehead sitting on a desk. I mean, obviously, I had to make sure that the background was in place and everything. But really, like, $100, I think, is a high end.
Well, I mean, they had to pay they had to pay employees to, like, do stuff. And that costs money. Yeah. But, you know, but, like, still, minimal cost for maximum hype. And they kept that going for just the right amount of time. Because eventually, that would have gotten boring. Like, they could have played that stream until E3.
Yeah.
And eventually it would have turned into like
somebody would have rioted.
It would have been like this crazy meme, you know, at this point. Yeah. But they kept people going just until they were until it's like, all right, this is just nothing. And then boom.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was kudos to the PR team. Like sometimes for stunts like that, I wish I was in the room with the whiteboard. Like, who thought of that? Hey, let's just stream the Fallout logo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good. So good. I don't know that I really want to play this game, though, based on
reports. Thing is we still don't know a ton about it. Like, there have been people, like, rumors flying here and there and supposed leaks about what it is and all that kind of stuff.
I trust Jason Schreier.
Okay.
I trust Jason Schreier from Kotaku with my eldest child's life.
Okay. I didn't read his. What did he say?
Jason Schreier of Kotaku he's the guy that breaks the news on Assassin's Creed every year, etc.
Right, right, yeah.
he said that it's going to be very likely a multiplayer like Rust or H1Z1, like one of those like multiplayer survival games,
right,
as opposed to a traditional role-playing game.
Right. Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks that it's going to be traditional. I've heard a few things. There's that. So it's going to be something like Ark or something like that. And then also I've heard people tossing around that it might be something like a State of Decay type gameplay as well, which would be cool. Sure. So, yeah. So that is coming. That's coming. Is that coming November as well, or sometime?
We have no release date. We know that they're giving us data at their press conference at E3. Yeah. If you put a gun to my head and told me I had to pick a day that it's coming out, I would pick sometime in November.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what they can do that, and who knows how long this game's been in development.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, and being that it's one of those multiplayer games, this could be a game that's just in beta. So they don't even have to have it be done.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. They could go to E3 and be like, you can play it now. And the world.
Yeah, that is entirely another possibility. Like, yeah. Especially if it's going to be like an early access game.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, and by the way, you can play Fallout 76 today. Like, it's on Steam right now and coming to Xbox and PC in a month.
Yeah.
Totally could picture that.
Yeah.
Or I said Xbox and PS4, but I said the wrong thing. But like, they could totally do that, set the universe on fire, and they would love it. All I know is I will try and play it at E3.
You will try and play it.
I'll report back. I don't know, that doesn't sound like my jam, but man, a lot of people are really interested in it.
Yeah, I am super interested in it too. But I mean, another like sort of factoid, I don't know how much listeners know about the Fallout universe and the Fallout canon, but this game is going to be set the earliest of any Fallout game in the timeline.
Yeah, I think so that's more fascinating to me than anything else, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
For the lore nerds, this is going to be real rad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was more interested in than anything else about it. Like,
yeah.
I want to know the story, but I've only ever watched Fallout. I didn't play it, so.
Yeah, so it's supposed to take place 20 years after the catastrophe atomic war, whatever happened, where all the other ones have been like 100+ years after that happened. And so it's funny, I was talking to Isaac about that. He's like, so I doubt that there have been time for any ghouls to have evolved.
Yeah. Probably not, right? Like, yeah, I mean, I think I read somewhere that Fallout 1 is where the villain was the master, and that is a guy who was the first super mutant, and he created the super mutants, and this predates him.
Yes.
So that means no super mutants. Right. So, I mean, that, I think that makes sense. Like, if it's a, you know, like a rebuilding game, then this could just be crazy wild animals, like no people anywhere except for the survivors.
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not true, because there are people that live that survive that are not in the vaults. But you know what I mean? Right. Like, limited, no society at all.
Yeah.
You know, no, I think this is super rad. It's not my jam, but I look forward. But this is one of those games that I'm super happy will exist. If it's like that, I want it to exist, and I want people to love it, because it sounds like the kind of game that could be cool. Yeah. I'm just worried for the revolt from the people that set themselves up for disappointment by expecting it to be a full-on RPG.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that. Definitely not going to be that. Although, man, State of Decay type gameplay, that would be awesome. I've been playing State of Decay 2 for the past week. I'm just going to toss it in there now. We don't do an official what we're playing section, but it's pretty much the first one, which is not a bad thing. There's not a lot different there. It's, you know, you're still trying to survive using multiple types of people from the zombies. You've got your base where you can build your things, and it's permadeath if you lose, which happened to me. this is my first game, like, and it always happens to me. I'm really dumb about going out on these missions without enlisting a follower to come with me, and so I lost my most important person. I was like, so I just started a new one. Now, I don't think that this was the case in the old one, but you can just set up a new community where you can pick the three people that you want, so based on their stats, so you can just mix and match whoever you want to make your community, which is a lot better than just being given what you're given as part of the story. So so I started that. We've lived 3 days. Stockpiles are low. I always make the mistake of recruiting too many people too soon. And then all your food runs out.
Gotta be careful with that.
Balance.
Yeah. So So I already had to exile somebody. Whatever. The rest of the people were happy because they
were a jerk at least?
Yes.
I'm actually going to try this game out after E3. I really am kind of intrigued by it. I really don't like zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't either. That's why when Fallout 76 turns out to be the same mechanic, that's awesome, because I am over zombies as well. Like, this game, the gameplay is so cool that's the only reason that I would play this.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested. And I mean, I got the Game Pass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the advantage to Xbox Game Pass. It's like, well, I may as well try it. It doesn't cost me anything extra. And if I love it, then great. And if I don't like it, I can hit delete and feel no shame.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So like we said, E3 is coming next week. What are some of the predictions? I've been reading around. Obviously, we talked about this last time we recorded, that Walmart Canada leaked a ton of stuff that has now been confirmed. But I'm still not, I don't know, I'm not seeing anything that's super surprising. I'm hoping somebody drops a big surprise somewhere, but everything else is just kind of, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's not meh, but it's what I was expecting.
I know it's I'm with you. I am sure someone is going to say something.
Yeah.
Because I know, so knowing what we know, right? EA has come out and said that they're going to have, I mean, we know they're going to have Madden and FIFA, so why waste that space on the page? But they're going to have Anthem. They're going to have a big blowout on Anthem, which looks cooler literally every second. We know Sony is going to be focusing on, they've already said they've got four games, so we know we're going to see Spider-Man, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, which so far we don't really know anything about, and I'm super hyped to find out about that game. And what's the fourth one? Oh, and a little game called The Last of Us Part 2,
right?
Which is set in the Pacific Northwest. So, like, one of your houses could be in it. Who knows? So we don't know a lot about Microsoft. I mean, outside of the fact that I'm going to guess that they have a Forza game because... duh. But other than that, like, I literally have no idea. Like, normally I have kind of an idea, but I don't.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing for them, because everything they do is a surprise to me. This is going to sound really dumb, but I'm really hoping that they at least show me a logo for Fable. I just want a logo for Fable. I know it's not super likely, but I just want it. Even if they're going to put the logo up and then find a studio to make it, I'm fine with that.
Marketing before the product.
Sure. Does that sound like something Microsoft wouldn't do?
No, it doesn't.
Thanks. So we know Ubisoft has announced a bunch of their stuff. We know the new Assassin's Creed game that's been launched, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'll give all of our listeners three guesses what time period we're going to, and none of them count. If you don't know where Assassin's Creed Odyssey is taking place just by listening to it, I don't know. You're uncultured, I guess. It's ancient Greece. So far they've shown us one graphic, and it was a dude doing the "This is Sparta" kick to kick a dude off the edge of a building. But other than that, like, you're right. It's kind of paint by numbers. You know, Nintendo has already come out and said they're telling us about Smash. With all of that said, if all the companies come out and deliver just the stuff that they have told us they're going to do, that's still a pretty rad E3. I mean, Spider-Man and you know, like The Last of Us Part Two, which we know they're going to give us real gameplay on, and Smash. Like, that's a lot of good freaking games if they're all good. And Anthem looks awesome. The new Destiny expansion, we're going to see more details on. So I am kind of okay with it being paint by numbers, knowing full well that, that we know there's going to be like a cool indie game or two that get announced at a press conference that we like. Yeah. And by the way, I completely have forgotten Square Enix is going to tell us when Kingdom Hearts comes out.
Right.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is getting a release date. I don't think that it's this year, but we're getting a release date. You know, like, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And a whole other season of Final Fantasy 15 DLC for your daughter to play with your husband. So I'm sure you're super excited about that.
You know what? I don't feel one way or the other. They enjoy playing that together. That's great. You know, that's great daddy time for her.
That's great daddy time. Just the way you said it, the way you said it.
It's the inflection. It's the daddy time.
So I think so. This is going to be crazy. Even though it's boring. How about that? Is that weird? Like, it's going to be crazy even though it's boring.
Well, I mean, it's not really boring. Like you said, there are lots of really great games. It's just that we know about most of them already. Yeah. So E3's next week. Steven's going to be there working his butt off. So pay attention to Engage Family Gaming for all your E3 updates.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They are porting Carcassonne to the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, I saw that.
Now, I'm just going to quietly throw this out here. If Carcassonne sells well, Carcassonne is about as safe of a board game. It's arguably just as safe as like Monopoly.
Yeah. Right?
Like Monopoly was a launch title on Switch. It played fine. I played it at Hascon. It's just freaking Monopoly. But Carcassonne is like a gamer game. You know what I mean? It's like a boutique game, but it's not hard. Right. Like you're just placing tiles, whatever. I kind of like it because you can't Godzilla the board in the digital version, whereas one person like pushes tiles to the side and just, the game's over. If that sells well, whoa, baby. Because turning the Switch into a multiplayer board game device, because being able to just put it down on the table on its back with a touch screen, my God, the possibilities. And that's a whole genre that video gamers as a whole have no idea. And I could absolutely picture board gamers, especially if the library gets big enough, a certain subset of board gamers buying that just so they can have all the copies on it. You know, like if the games are cheap enough. I think that's quietly one of the biggest announcements to come out of the pre-E3 thing. That is so huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That was on Xbox 360.
It was, and it did okay.
And
it's backwards compatible. I've thought about buying it.
Yeah, my husband and I played it together all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was lots of fun because we don't do the physical board game thing. We do it on our TV.
But that's totally fine, right? Because it's, you know, like, it's not like you guys don't spend time together. So it's not like, you know what I mean? But I think that, like I said, I think that's quietly one of the biggest announcements to come out of the show. At least that's out of the pre-show.
Right.
And I think that's amazing. There's no way that that's not going to get noticed if it sells well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Carcassonne is who? Regina, who does Carcassonne right now?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Wasn't everybody that company that you guys are talking about?
No.
Themselves?
I think Carcassonne is Z-Man.
That's Mayfair. No.
I'm going to look it up fast. Is it Z-Man? If it's Asmodee, everybody.
That's what I meant.
Asmodee, yeah. That's the one you're talking about.
Who's publishing it now?
Thanks.
Oh, it's Z-Man that publishes it in the United States. Z-Man owns a lot.
Yeah.
So, Z-Man's not quite Asmodee, but Asmodee absolutely will pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because if this game comes out and does modestly well, then I can't imagine that we won't see more. Keeping in mind that there is a thriving, There is a thriving market for like games that are just digital versions of board games. So yes. It's not hard to get the assets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, Z-Man has. I'm just on their website looking.
Pandemic.
Oh man, they have Pandemic. I mean, Pandemic. Pandemic is and huge. Feast of Odin.
Oh man, can you imagine Pandemic on the Switch? That would be awesome.
Yeah, Pandemic on the Switch would be amazing. That means they published Pandemic Legacy.
Yes.
That would do very well. Pandemic so, I mean, great. We could go on for hours and probably put Nicole to sleep. But I think quietly, oh, man, Love Letter. They do.
Love Letter. Oh, man, Love Letter's awesome.
Yeah, okay. So I'm slowly beginning to think this is if that sells well.
Yeah.
Forget about it. Lots of board games by the end of the year. And I can't imagine it'd be that hard to make. I mean,
yeah.
They're not, you ain't making Halo 6. You know what I mean? Like it's not Street Fighter 5. We're talking about like little pieces. I mean, I'm sure it's hard. I just got to be careful because I know there are game designers and stuff that listen to this. And I don't want to trivialize game development, but I am presuming. Compared to making like Final Fantasy 15, porting a board game has got to be a little bit easier. It just has. Right.
They have a choose your own adventure game.
Yeah, that's new. We'll talk about that off the air. It's super rad. I had a chance to play it at Toy Fair. Yeah, I played it at Toy Fair. It's really
that would
fun.
Be really popular with my game group. Like,
because you guys are because y'all old. Are a bunch of dorks.
Because we're all old.
Anyway, so we're gonna. Games. I'm gonna change up the order of stuff because I didn't say this at the beginning, but we are gonna talk about some spoiler stuff during our movies. We're gonna talk about Westworld and Solo, but don't worry, you will have the spoiler alert alarm happen before you hear that stuff.
Books and comics.
I am reading a series called The Alchemy Wars, and oh my god, it is amazing. I love it so much. You know what? I'm going to go back real quick. I started playing Detroit today because I had this funny thing I was going to say. It's like most of my entertainment is dominated by robots this week. So I'm playing robots, I'm reading about robots, and I'm watching robots. So, but Detroit is cool thus far. I haven't gotten very far into it, but yeah, I'm liking it so far. But this Alchemy Wars, is about robots that, you know, become self-aware and, you know, decide that they don't want to be who they have been designated to be, which is a very popular theme, throughout entertainment these days. But it's really good. There's, it's written from two perspectives, one of the actual robots, and then one from this woman who, the other thing that's funny, it's like a steampunky type thing. So it's like 1800, early 1900s, but the world is like different. The Dutch like rule the world, except for what's called New France, which is in North America along the St. Lawrence River. And so the Dutch are the ones that own this technology for these robots, and they're still trying to, you know, take everything over. The French are trying to figure out how they made these robots so that they can make the robots turn against the Dutch. So the point of views are one is from the robot, one is from a French spy who is amazing. Her character is so hilarious and so cool. I haven't read a character like this in a while that I really like as much as I like this character.
So which one is the first book? It pulled up.
It's called The Mechanical.
The Mechanical? Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm checking it out right now.
Yeah,
my library app. As we're talking, because I need a book. So
yeah, I'm almost done with the second book. It's. I mean, I'm flying through it. It's really a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. I hope that it doesn't fall apart in the third book. Like that's the only thing that sometimes happens.
I'm getting this book too.
Cool.
This looks really good. I was going to challenge the audience to give me a fiction book to read. But you just did it. So save your recommendations because I'm going to read this because it sounds pretty rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need a fiction book.
Super cool.
Because I've read way too many nonfiction books. I'm done. I want like robots and stuff.
Movies and TV.
We had a few trailers.
A
pop
lot
up
of them.
In the, okay. A lot of trailers. So let's see. Wreck-It Ralph looks totally amazing.
Hello!
Oh my god!
That scene with the freaking princesses. Talk about that for a minute. How about Disney just owning their?
How about their, Disney know. Just yeah. owning it? Like, just like lay well, it all out here. Yeah. Let's just like, turn well, it on its head. Yeah. Yeah. We got to go with this now. This is the thing, right? We'll yeah. let Cinderella make her slipper into a shiv.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because that was amazing. Of course amazing. She did.
Yeah.
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 Can I just say that when the pancake milkshake scene right. with the pancake milkshake, the bunny and the kitten and eating the food and he's playing the little baby game. Like, first off, I don't know that game, but I definitely know that game because I have had toddlers with apps. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I could absolutely imagine myself really enjoying that game briefly. But like the I will never forget two parts of that scene. One, the expressionless look of terror on that little buddy's face when he sees the big tray, and the sound design when he's sticking the last piece, the last pancake through its mouth before it pops.
Yeah.
That was so disgusting. You know what I mean? Because it sounded gross. Oh my God. It was so good. I think that movie, I mean, just like what Wreck-It Ralph did, which was like a send up of mm-hmm. 80s and 90s era arcade culture.
Yeah.
This is the send up of internet culture.
Yeah. And,
oh my God. I cannot wait for that freaking movie. Like I thought I was done. I was like, oh, I'm cool. Avengers is over. I don't need to see any movies for the rest of the year. I'm skipping yeah. Solo. I mean, I got to see Ant-Man and the Wasp, or like, but that's not a big deal. It's 4th of July, and then right. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, geez, we got Wreck-It Ralph. We got yeah. Yeah. more things that we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks very cool. I remember Isaac and I just loved the first movie. It kind of came out of nowhere for us because we didn't really know what it was, and people were talking about it, and we watched it. It was totally awesome. This one looks amazing. I was a little surprised at how many of the sort of internet brands that they had
oh, yeah.
in the trailer.
Everybody.
Like Facebook, Twitter, Google, everybody is actually in there with their yeah. logos. I'm yeah. like, wow, Disney's throwing around the bucks for that.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do it, right? If you're going to yeah, do it. Yeah.
They threw around the bucks, but I mean, that's not bad product. Mm-mm. Like that's is, not bad. Right. That is all product placement. I mean, Pepsi yeah. pays to get their products in movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wouldn't yeah. be surprised if that was maybe fund neutral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Because that movie is going to be seen by a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be like, what's this Snapchat thing? I mean.
Yeah.
That are, I mean, maybe some parents that already are wondering what that Snapchat thing is, but you know what I mean. Like, I mean, dude, even eBay got in on the action. I think it's great. I cannot
yeah,
wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super cool. Some other trailers that, well, it's just that one dropped today, the Spider-Man one, right?
Yeah. So Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is coming this Christmas. It's an animated film. My God, I made us watch it before the episode right. started yeah. Because it is that important. It is. I'm just so psyched. If you like Spider-Man, I think this might this man. This is the best Spider-Man Sony's ever made.
Yeah.
And I know that just from the trailer. I'm in all in on that. Go just stop whatever you're doing. As long as you're not driving, go watch it and then come back. You'll understand why I'm like, just in slack-jawed awe. I mean, if you're driving,
yeah. please don't
stop at a gas station.
Podcast does not endorse you.
If you're driving, stop at a gas station right. and watch it, and then pull take over. Off again.
Yeah,
I did that. No joke. I did that for the Pokemon stuff.
Did you really?
Well, no you joke. When we were at E3 last year, was it the Nintendo one you watched in the car?
Yeah, but I wasn't driving.
No, I know. I'm just.
And I had to because I. Couldn't get into E3 because I left my license back at the apartment.
Sorry to bring up war wounds.
No, I live. Trust me.
I might text you that on Tuesday morning and just make sure you have your ID with you again.
We have a group text going for all of us going.
Okay, good.
Steve, do you have your license? May or may not have been mentioned a handful of times already.
Okay, good.
So okay, good. You think John and Jesse, of all the people, you think Jesse is going to let me live that
Jesse.
Down?
No, like Jesse is going to own you on that for sure.
Yeah. So, outside, after Spider-Man, the Lego movie, the second part, which is just looks awesome. It's just more of the same nonsense. Chris Pratt is just such a treasure.
Yes. I agree.
He's just so stupid. You know what I mean?
So like, dumb.
He's so dumb, but he's
so good at being dumb.
Yeah, he just owns it.
He's just good at being dumb. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever think he's going to get cast in something where he's not? Well, I guess he's not in the. I mean, I've never seen a full one, but I was going to say, I guess he's not dumb in the Jurassic Park.
No, he's real dumb movies. In the Jurassic Park movies.
Oh, is he?
And he's impulsive in the Jurassic Park movies too.
So, okay.
Star Lord is goofy dumb.
Yeah. Yes, I know that. I'm just
in Jurassic Park. He's
impulsive.
Like, impulsive, like needs to do things now. Like doesn't think.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's not goofy. Like the goofy is like just because of that particular character, but otherwise he's the same guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean the goofy, you know, I was like saying maybe he's going to get a little bit because he started, I think this is where he started on Parks and Rec.
Right.
Right. And he was just that character was hilarious, but he was so stupid.
Yeah, he's gotten a little better. Like in Jurassic World, he's actually like a scientist, a behavioral scientist working with them. Like, but he was a Marine, so he's kind of still like the. Yeah, it's just impulsive. That's how I would. He's impulsive.
Yeah.
Impulsive hero who's like got something to prove, so he has to go like all out. You know.
That is 100% him. Yeah, like I think that Regina is a literary expert for a reason. Right. She knows characters.
And we just watched that for my science fiction film class. So like I literally watched it 2 weeks ago for class.
Smart call.
So,
smart call.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was, you know, I was debating making them because they're all, you know, teenagers, right? Making them watch the old Jurassic Park.
Oh, but, yeah.
Like there's not enough story in that for us to really talk about anything. And the theme that week was supposed to be how animals are treated in science fiction.
Mm.
And the last person who taught it had done Rise of Planet of the Apes, which I had no interest whatsoever in teaching.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I do this? And I'm like, oh, then that, because they actually like talk about the animals' rights and whatnot in Jurassic World. So.
There's certainly some ethical questions.
There's some ethical questions that they bring up and, you know, what they're doing and the decisions that they make. So it was actually a much more appropriate film for that, even than Rise of Planet of the Apes was. But it was fun to have them watch it because they all hadn't seen it either.
So. Yeah. I love the first Jurassic Park. Because I read the books, like the first book was amazing. The second Jurassic Park movie, the one that was called The Lost World, terrible. Oh my God, so terrible. I wanted to get up and walk out of the movie. Like they turned the T-Rex into Godzilla at the end. I was like,
that's just wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But quick side note there, this is totally a tangent, but when we go to see movies, we see them in the Dolby cinema thing. So Dolby, you know, they run this little thing before the movie starts. It's like, hey, look how awesome we are, kind of thing.
So cool.
They have Jurassic World built into that now, which was kind of weird to me.
Interesting.
So it's like, because it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, good, trailers are over. The movie's going to start. And then the Dolby thing comes and then there's Jurassic World. I was like, what?
What is happening?
Why?
That's what I've decided. My new like marker for your age is if you remember going to the movies and commercials weren't playing before the trailers.
Yes.
You are old if you remember when there weren't commercials playing before the trailers. The last time we were in the movie theater and I'm like, I don't want to see this car commercial again, like this car dealership commercial again. Stop.
Well, we've been Isaac is kind of notoriously late all the time. So we've actually been walking into the movies when the trailers are starting. So I haven't seen very many commercials just because we're.
Yeah, it's annoying. Well, we go to a theater where you can order food and beer because we make the one thing is like our date night, right? So you can go and they have beer and whatever and you can sit in like the nice comfy chairs and whatnot. So but you have to get there at least 10 minutes before the movie starts to order food. You can't order food after the movie begins. So we end up there early, but like, yeah. But now that there's reserved seating, I'm less likely to get there really early and just like get there at the like 10-minute limit. But then it's 10 minutes of like talking heads of like stupid local commercials. And I'm like, I really don't need to see this. nobody needs to see this. So yeah.
Digression. Yeah, that's okay. It happens. It happens. Was there another trailer, Stephen, that you wanted to talk about?
There are two. Okay. One is Christopher Robin.
Oh.
I'm just going to literally cry for 2.5 hours. yeah, you're right. I said it. Are you judging me?
No.
I'm just going to mention Bumblebee.
Bumblebee? Damn it. What is that? I don't know.
It's a Transformers movie about Bumblebee.
Oh, okay. Bumblebee. All right. Now I understand.
So, like, it came out, the trailer dropped yesterday, and, like, all the nerds on my Facebook wall were like, hey, Steve, oh my gosh, you should totally love this. It's like Bumblebee. And I was like, yeah, it's like better than the other ones, I guess.
Is it live action?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't sound very enthusiastic.
Because the only good thing about this is that I think that this is it, and I think they're rebooting Transformers.
They should do that,
and they're not going to have Michael Bay do it anymore. Because I think that I think Hasbro has to know that they can make giant robot movies that will make $1 billion in China and have them be good so they will actually make money in the United States. Like, they don't have to 100% punt in the United States and North America to try and just make garbage. Because it's not like the movies are cheap to make. So I want them to reboot it. So a peaceful end, a nice little cute Bumblebee movie. Everybody loves Bumblebee. He's a bug this time as opposed to a freaking Camaro. Whatever. It's fine. I'm not gonna see it in the theaters unless somehow like it gets 99 on like Rotten Tomatoes or some nonsense. I can't. But if you're still into Transformers movies at this point, watch the trailer, I guess. Was that a solid sales pitch, guys?
No. Oh. Don't quit your day job.
that's funny you say that.
I know. That's why I paused at first. I'm like, no, this is okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. So yeah, it's but don't worry, I won't sell.
Right.
Yeah, it's just man, you know, like if this were the first movie, I'd have been all in.
Yeah.
But because it's like the seventh and the last four have been, I literally have not watched them. And like, I am a huge Transformers fan. Huge. Right. And nope, I have no interest. So let's come to a peaceful end and give it a couple of years and then make another one with a different director. And maybe I'll watch those. No question.
Spoiler alert.
Solo has been getting very mixed reactions from people.
It has been.
It has not done well at the box office, which is kind of depressing. So I liked it. I actually more than liked it. I really enjoyed it. And I think that most of the people who are not liking it so much is I think they went into it thinking it was a Star Wars movie. This is not a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It's a heist movie. Mm-hmm. And if you went in expecting the Force and lightsabers and all that kind of stuff, there's none of it. None of it. You sort of see a lightsaber at the very, very end, but there's no Force anywhere in this thing.
Interesting.
It is. And it makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, you know,
his character was not. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he knew what the Force was in the first movie, but he wasn't like, that's what was his big reveal at the end was him saying, may the Force be with you to Luke. Right.
Right.
Like, that was the big thing. Yeah. So,
yeah. And the other thing too, that I'm hearing from people is like, oh, there wasn't enough substantial character development. And I'm like, Han Solo is not a relief.
Yeah, exactly.
he's got as deep as he needs to be in The Force Awakens. Like, that's as deep as Han Solo needs to be. Mm-hmm. And then people are, you know, ragging on the actor. I think he did a really good job having a super hard
thing that he had to do.
Yeah.
I felt that way for Ian McGregor when he stepped in Alan McGuinness's shoes and then tried to do some poor sap-sour imitation of him, and that was horrible. Like, you need to make it your own, and that's one of the things that I've heard, is that he actually did a good job adapting it to, like, creating a character based on it that you could see the connection, but he wasn't impersonating him. Right.
Yes, exactly. I thought he did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
There's a nice little tidbit in there that's kind of like, screw you, George Lucas, and that there's a Han shot first segment in there.
Nice.
I told you, Regina, that Thandi Newton, the actress who plays Maeve on Westworld, is in there. She's only in there a little bit. It was kind of disappointed. Isaac even said that. I was like, I wish she was in there a little more.
I love her.
And then Kira, who is the female lead, is played by Emilia Clarke.
Yep.
Targaryen, and that was like the test for me, was going in. I'm like, okay, can this actress, can she be more than Daenerys?
Right.
Like, that's what I was really curious to see, because I'm such an expert.
I've seen her in every scene multiple times.
Yes, multiple times. And she did good. She did a good job. And her character, fascinating. I want a whole movie about her character.
Nice.
Like, yeah, it was really, really cool. I mean, the other things, you see Lando, and, you know, as silly as it is, there are things that this movie just delivered things that I wanted to see. I wanted to know how he met Chewbacca. I wanted to know how he ended up winning the Millennium Falcon off of Lando.
Right.
You know? And it shows you those things. They could be like, you know, boring, you know, check the box type things, but they were interesting. The only thing that was dumb was how he got his name, the Solo name, which was completely stupid. But the rest of it, I thought was really cool. I really enjoyed it, and I don't really understand people's, like, really strongly negative reactions to it. And I guess some of it could be Star Wars fatigue that's been
That's what the internet is tossing around now. It's been too much in too short a time, which I can kind of understand, because I remember I had a very visceral reaction when we were watching The Force Awakens to having not, because I didn't get to see the original. I'm not that old. I didn't get to see the original trilogy in the theaters. And so I saw it when they reissued it, but that was like terrible.
Wow.
You know,
I remember seeing Return of the Jedi in the theaters. I saw, well, I was a baby when the first one came out, but I was in the theater. I technically saw, quote unquote.
Yeah, so did my husband. My husband was like 2 weeks old on his mom's lap, like,
right,
you know, seeing the first movie.
Yeah.
But I remember them pretty much, this will date me also, from watching them on Betamax. Betamax, not VHS, for you whippersnappers who don't know anything about videotape. There were actually two videotape formats back in the day. And we chose poorly. So we had a Betamax, and I remember watching him on Betamax for, you know, every day after school until I had chunks of dialogue memorized. But I hadn't seen a new Star Wars movie in the theater since they had reissued the original. I guess I saw those, the first episodes 1 through 3, but we speak not of them. So yeah, during Force Awakens, like, I had this visceral reaction just to hearing the opening music.
I know, me too.
Like, in the theater, like, I got teary-eyed, and I, like, got choked up, and I'm, like, getting choked up thinking about it, just that, like, wash over me of, like, oh my god, I'm watching Star Wars, and this is a new story, and that, like, sensation, and, you know, I didn't have that at Rogue One, and I didn't have it at The Last Jedi. Like, it's just kind of faded, because it's like so much now. It's like every year there's something new, and I don't dislike them. I just feel like I don't have that, like, oh yes, I want a Star Wars. I'm so excited about Star Wars. Like, I'm more excited about Game of Thrones, which is still making me wait another year or whatever.
I mean, that's what I mean. That's actually, as I mean, it hasn't been a success, unfortunately, but I think that having Solo not be your typical Star Wars movie was a good
step. It's how it should be, because if they made it then everybody, you know, if they made it into a Star Wars movie and they made it about the Force or whatever, then everybody would be complaining about that too. They'd be like, this wasn't, he wasn't in this, and this isn't this, and then and that. Because I hate to say it, but Star Wars fans are the absolute worst. I'm sorry, guys. And I include myself in as a Star Wars fan, but they've run, I can't think of her name, the actress who played Rose in The Last Jedi, just deleted her, you know, Instagram account because she had been like trolled so hard by fans who were defending their fandom from her. It's like, screw you guys. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Get over yourselves. Just
I said it on, I mean, I said it on Facebook. Fandom is a disease.
It's horrible.
And it's just straight up like, because the idea is, for whatever reason, people have decided that loving something means that you own it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is problematic in a number of ways when you extend that to things. But, like, they don't own Star Wars. Star Wars is is not owned by anyone.
Right.
Like, I don't like the new Transformers. I hate them. Mm-hmm. I love Transformers, but I hate the Bayformers things. You know what they do whenever they put out a really crappy Transformers movie? I watch the hell out of something else, right? Like, I started watching Star Wars because they didn't make any good Transformers movies. It's not like there's nothing to watch.
Right.
If you got one movie a year,
right,
ever, for anyone, and it was bad, okay, well, that's different. But, like, it's not. There's movies coming out every freaking month. And Star Wars is very clearly compartmentalized for fans. It's super easy.
Right.
There's an older trilogy that was produced in the 70s and 80s that's perfect in and of itself, right? Y'all can love them.
Right.
There are the prequels, who are generally hated except by people who were children when they came out.
Right.
The spoiler alert, Star Wars is for children. I repeat, Star Wars is for children. Avengers is for children too. Yes, there are grown-up themes and stuff, but, like, these movies are designed to be enjoyed and loved by 10-year-olds.
Right.
Except for Solo.
Except for Solo, but Solo's not a Star Wars movie.
Anna,
right,
not a fan. And she liked the other Star Wars movies.
But Solo's not a Star Wars movie.
I know.
You literally just spent 5 minutes explaining that. So, case in point, right? Like, the prequels existed, and children who were around that time absolutely love it. And now there are new movies who are made for a different audience. Some, and there's obviously there's the Venn diagram, right? Because we all know how that works. If you only like the old ones and the new ones suck, then stop watching them. You still have the three original movies that were life-changing, and you can quote them all and have your tattoos and your merch and all your shenanigans. But the new movie's existence does not change the fact that those were, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's just, and it's the same way with all sorts of crap. It's like, come on, guys, just stop. Funny how it's really annoying that it's really freaking annoying the way that these freaking imbeciles do this stuff. It's guys, just let people like things,
right?
And find some new junk.
Yep.
You know, like, find some new crap.
Yeah,
but anyway, get a hobby. Get a new one. Go LARPing. Like, go do something with your time. It's just
go write a book.
I mean, and that the girl that played Rose is so nice.
I know.
Yeah, so sweet. And I love Rose.
And she's not the character. Like.
Oh, and that's the other thing.
This is the thing that drives me nuts. She's not the character. She's just the actress who plays the character.
And she was paid. She was paid to do that. Because they wanted her. Like, if you're mad, I guess get mad at directors, I guess, or writers. I guess if you're going to get mad, I guess that's fine. Get mad at Disney in general. That's fine. People have been mad at Disney for decades.
Right.
Of the three people on this podcast, two of us have been mad at Disney for decades. I mean, so it's okay to be mad at Disney. They're a big faceless organization. Neither of you are writing hate mail to the people that animated Cinderella.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not their fault. And this poor girl, all she wanted, I mean, she got offered a part in a movie.
In a Star Wars movie.
That any one of us would have taken.
Yeah.
No one. And all these people that are like, oh man, you destroyed blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
I can't.
If they offered you money to be in a Star Wars movie, even if you thought it was garbage, you would have done it. Shut your face.
I think it was one of the actresses from Desperate Housewives who had had a plot line where she had cheated on her husband. And she talked about how she was in the grocery store and someone threw oranges at her.
Oh, my God.
And it's that kind of stuff. Like, these people are not their characters. Like, right. I remember having to defend Will Wheaton to a friend of mine because on The Big Bang Theory, he's a jerk, right?
Oh, he's a heel.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 100% a heel on The right. Big Bang Theory.
And she's like, but he's not nice on the... And I'm like... He's a character. Like, he's playing. I get it. It's his name, and that might be a little confusing, but he's playing a character.
Yeah.
Of himself, not himself. She's like, but he's such a jerk on The Big Bang Theory. And I'm like,
he's a heel. Yeah.
That's not he's who a he heel. Is.
Like, he's a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been, I haven't heard of any like direct cases, but I've heard it sort of secondhand through interviews with other actors. Is that Ewan Rayon and Jack Gleason? Ewan Rayon plays Ramsay Bolton. Jack Gleason played Joffrey Baratheon. Apparently, they get lots of crap in the street too.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Talk about terrible characters.
You know, can I tell you something? You know who everybody loves? Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yes, they do.
People love them some Dwayne Johnson. As a wrestling fan, can I tell you that the terror that was the corporate champion, because he was a heel for like 2 years. He was such a jerk. He was so bad. And everybody loves him. But for some reason, people give Will Wheaton bad crap for being a jerk a little bit on the big.
Right.
What's weird about it is he's a jerk, but he still brought them to freaking William Shatner's house to a Star Wars party.
Right. Exactly.
Like he got them. The whole thing is just, I'm sorry, fandom is, we're taking a tangent, but fandom is a disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will plug real quickly the article on the Geek Embassy. Who wrote that? Was it Max? Regina,
your
fandom, what is it? Your fandom doesn't belong to you.
Or? No, that was Dante.
Oh, Dante.
Dante.
Sorry. Sorry, Dante. There's an awesome article in it, you know, hits those points.
Like, which was inspired by a conversation on the Slack channel of the Geek Embassy, for a little background information on that. We had a conversation one day and he's like, I'm going to write an article about this. And I'm like, okay, just make sure all parties involved know before you publish it. That's all I ask.
Right. But, yes.
And
the Slack, Geek Embassy Slack channels can be amusing.
Oh, yes, it sure
is. I don't post in there a lot, but I kind of lurk.
I had a feeling. I thought about that the other day. I can't remember what we were talking about. And I'm like, I wonder if people just read these, because there's a couple of really quiet, actually, Stephen and Nicole are both reasonably quiet in our Slack. So I wasn't sure if you're just not Slack aficionados or if you're just like, I'm just going to read this and watch the chaos.
Well, both. I don't check it like all the time, but I'll go in at like the end of the day and be like, oh, I haven't looked in there. You know, the tab in my window will have a little asterisk telling me that somebody posted something new.
Yeah.
So I'll go in and look. But it can be amusing at times.
It sure can.
Yeah.
I just have too many Discord channels, so I get very distracted.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that's Star Wars. Let us know what you think of Solo. Even if you didn't like it, that's fine.
Yep.
I'll argue with you. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. Like I said, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I'm sad it's not doing well, the box office, because there's more of a story to be told there.
Right.
And I think they originally were going to make another one, but maybe they won't now. We'll just have to see. But like I said, Kira, I want a movie about Kira. She's just awesome. Her character is fascinating. Okay, so other spoiler stuff. Westworld, we're past the halfway mark now. That was episode 7. Gosh. This week, right? Was it episode 7? Okay, yeah. So we only had a few more to go.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really picked up.
It was like I was telling Chris about it because he watched season 1 and I had lots of theories, of course, at the end of season 1. Yeah. And I just had to be like, yep, one came back. I got one right. I'm like, it took 7 episodes for me to get to it. But
yeah. Yeah, it's still it's a little confusing in places, but we're kind of learning why is because the major POV is Bernard.
Yeah.
And there are multiple Bernards.
Yeah, that's gotta be what's going
on. His memories are coming through at multiple places in time. Because there was a thing last night where, you know, he ran into Ford in the Westworld thing, and he tells him to destroy the, you know, the computer or whatever that would put Dolores in charge. And I'm like, crap, that's before she shot him.
Right.
Like, that was his, like, burn it all down, which is also cool. Anthony Hopkins has been in the last couple episodes.
I know, thank goodness, because I missed him.
Yeah.
I missed him.
Yeah. So, so other stuff that we haven't talked about is Maeve has the ability to control
other
hosts. Although we got an interesting thing in this last episode that it seems like the ones who have more of a story around them are a little bit harder to control because she really had to talk to, is his name Lawrence? The guy that was hanging out with William, the man.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She had to
work him a little bit.
He had a little bit more free will, so she had to And I wonder if that's partially. So I feel like a lot of it is tying back to this is pretty obvious to William and you know, Ford having said that William was the reason why he wrote this game. Yeah. So I'm wondering if the characters that William has heavily influenced are harder for her to drive.
Yeah.
Because there's some sort of interference that William's narrative is having on everybody else.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, he was bleeding to death the last time we saw him. I know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, he's not dead yet. I think his daughter's going to... I don't think we talked about that yet.
No.
But his daughter, his real-life daughter, has popped out into the game. She wanted to get him out of there.
Right.
Because she thinks he's been too obsessed, and he
rides off. Yeah, he ditches her overnight and leaves her with one and takes the party that he's with.
Yeah.
She was interesting because, like, she's not introduced as his daughter, of course, because Westworld has this whole bait and switch thing. But what I found fascinating about her character was she had to shoot the guy before she'd sleep with him because she didn't want to sleep with anybody she didn't want to sleep with any hosts. So she's, I have to confirm that you're really human and this is only going to sting for a little bit and it'll be worth it.
Right. So. Yeah.
Like, this is fascinating.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
I don't want to sleep with you if you're a host. So it's like,
I'm pretty sure she is going to, she's going to find William and, you know, patch him up or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was more, Dolores is still kind of a, I'm not quite sure how
I don't know how I feel about her either.
Seeing her back with her dad, quote unquote, again, is kind of, but she knows about like the key. Okay. So anybody who, I assume people have watched the episodes if they're listening to this.
Right.
But if you haven't, Abernathy is super important because he is the only host that has a decryption key or some type of unlock key in his, in his head.
Right.
So that's why he's so important. Like, we were speculating that maybe he's actually one of the real people.
Right. They put, Delos's consciousness in him and he was a vehicle to get it out of the park. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Although it does seem to be the driving forces that they're trying to figure out how to get humans into the makes sense.
I was kind of looking forward to what's her name? Charlotte Hale.
Yeah.
Like, see, or whatever she is.
Yeah.
Dolores was about ready to, like, slice her up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She got interrupted by her dad. She totally got, and then she ran off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, I was like, oh, this is getting dark. Like,
because
she didn't come at her with a gun. Like, she had a knife and she was about to cut her open. And I was like, oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, and Maeve's kind of situation now is interesting too because, you know, she's always been strong and everything, but like you're getting the trying to rescuing her daughter has really, really affected her even negatively now. But I was curious to see, and they didn't show it, how she was actually going to react when she saw that there was another mother, which just makes sense.
Because they showed that.
Yeah, they showed it, but she didn't really seem to react to it that much?
I think mostly because she got interrupted. Because the bad guys come in, sweep in at that moment, and she doesn't, like, she's in the, like, emotional processing of it, and when she gets swept away by the natives.
Yeah.
And so I think that was sort of truncated, because I kept thinking about that the entire time she was searching for her daughter, thinking about the fact that there's nothing that says that her daughter is having any kind of emotional attachment to her. Like there's right. there's no two-way street here in terms yeah. of her daughter remembering that, you know, she missed her mom, because, you know, the likelihood was that they would just program a new host into that story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like at one point the writer, when he was talking to her, was like, they thought that her character was wasted on homesteading, and that's right. where they made her like, you know, the madam right. In the saloon. So, I mean, at that point, you think, well, definitely they're going to add somebody else in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But yeah,
she had a similar look to how she looked. Like she had the long natural hair, and
yeah.
she was wearing the same outfit and that kind of thing. Oh, we didn't talk about like Shogun World.
Oh, right. Yes.
Where they had the exact same story, just with different characters. And my
and then I'll realize that, like, wait a second.
They start like putting it together, and it was so funny. But what I realized, it was really smart storytelling, because I was so much more attached to the characters in Shogun World because of their backstories and their history in the other world. Yeah. Like the attachments, there was only two episodes that we really saw them in, but I was much more attached to them because of their characters in Westworld. Mm. So that was really smart move in terms of like crafting the story, you know, not to just play on like how they were constructing the worlds, but to also play on like how you connect your audience to the characters. It was clever. So
yeah, and also the end of that too, which basically showed that not all the hosts want to leave the world.
Yeah. Because exactly, because they stayed.
They stayed and they're like, this is our place, you know, we don't want to go. And that's the first time we've seen any of the like this season, we've seen any of the hosts mm-hmm. be like, no, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah. So, but they were also the only ones that had been asked to leave their own world.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because that's true. The Westworld are leaving their world to go to the outside world, which is what they were asking them to do, essentially. But
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a one-way road. They had to go back to Westworld to get out again. So
yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. The emotional type stuff that they're trying to build up with these characters. Like when they had Dolores talking to her father and sort of remembering like their house and what they did then, and how this, you know, was actually a good memory.
Well, they had to do something like that with her because she was so friggin' ruthless. I had my empathy for her was completely nil. It still is really low because she's making some really vicious decisions. And so I'm not sure how it's going to come around for her, if it's going to come around, if I'm going to be back to rooting for her. I'm just at this point, I'm still like, I'm not really sure what the end game is here. Like I understand it's get out, but you know, when they destroy the cradle and their backups, and I mean, I guess I can understand wanting to destroy a backup of your consciousness.
Yeah.
When you want to control who you are, but I don't know.
The nice twist that wasn't this week's episode, I think it was the episode before, where, I mean, this was happening even in the first season, where Bernard is talking to Dolores and, you know, they're having their like weekly chats or whatever. Yeah. And then you see it this time that it's actually Dolores is the one. Like,
she's conditioning him.
Like, cause all motor functions. I was like, what?
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty smart. Yeah,
so I mean, it's the whole Bernard, like, I don't even know how many Bernards
there are.
They have to be multiple.
That was the only thing when I have to rewatch the most recent, I might watch the most recent two episodes to get a handle on it, because at this point I'm kind of like, I'm not really sure where I am here.
Yeah, I think that the whole reason that they showed in this last episode the sort of closet full of Bernards
was to
kind of give you a clue that this is why everything is so scattered and not making sense, is because when you see Bernard, you don't know which Bernard you're actually
looking at,
seeing. So it's getting good. Three more episodes left, I think.
Yeah,
it's a 10. Yeah,
it's 10,
I thought they did like their standard things. Yeah. So
yep,
we got three more episodes left of Westworld. Yeah. So I'm gonna watch after that.
You have
to start really, really pining for Game of Thrones.
You should go watch The Handmaid's Tale.
I know. We don't have Hulu, though. I don't know.
You should get it for that.
That's what I've heard.
It's brutal, but man, it's good.
But speaking of Game of Thrones, I think we're going to get our, I'm expecting the first teaser trailer to pop during Comic-Con.
Because
they're having a panel. So So yeah, something's got to come. Most of the filming is done. You know, Emilia Clarke has been making the press rounds right. for Solo, and she has said that she is done filming. Yeah. So if she's done,
right.
then pretty much everybody has got to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So that means that they've got a ton of footage. I mean, obviously they wouldn't have any of the posts, you know, won't be any dragons or anything right. cool like that in the footage. Well, I don't know how long it would take to add that. But they would have something to show. I mean, and even the trailers, I'm trying to think back now. I think it was season 6. They had a few different teasers that really didn't have anything shown in them except for some VO. So like there was the one of like the Stark banner. It was like ripped and like, you know, waving in the wind. Right. It looked like it was on a battlefield. And you heard Ramsay's voice say, "Winterfell is mine. Come and see."
Right.
"It's so terrible that I know all these trailers." So there was a couple like that for season 6, which they didn't even have to do anything for. And that line he doesn't even say that like in his voice of the line, he writes it in the letter, but he doesn't actually say it.
Right.
So they don't even need anything special like that. Mm. So, I mean, obviously I would want more than that, but
yeah.
Mm. Shouldn't count on getting any more than
that. Keep your expectations in check.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if it's just some sort of landscape with a logo or something like that. Flash of a couple of characters.
Yeah.
A little cleavage, maybe. Maybe a shot of a sword.
Kind of past that a little bit, though.
Yeah. I mean,
really, last season, there wasn't much.
That's true. But that's because they've moved out of the brothels. Like, that's the reason why there were always so many, because everything was happening for Littlefinger, and Littlefinger was running the brothels. So,
yeah.
Oh, we have let's put that in the brothel.
Yeah.
And we have a conversation that you spent. Let's put it in the brothel. Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, I think that's it then. Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, send us an email, geekingmoms@gmail.com. Regina is Head Geek at the Geek Embassy, thegeekembassy.com, at the Geek Embassy. What else is going on at the Geek Embassy?
We have an episode that was slightly delayed thanks to technical difficulties. You might have also seen mentioned on the Slack channel. Somebody fell asleep. And so we've had a delayed, our Deadpool 2 episode was delayed because somebody fell asleep. Oh, that somebody was me.
Yeah.
So we're a little behind, but we learned a few important lessons. So I feel like the fact that my May term class destroyed me is a good learning experience for all of us.
Right.
So keep an eye out for the Geek Embassy Watches Deadpool 2. As always, Nicole has content about right now writing about reunions for Game of Thrones.
Well, I'm not going to do all of them. I have another idea for this week. But
okay, good.
But there will be lots of those.
There will be some of those coming in the future. Yeah, like, same.
Especially Arya, because she's been so detached from everybody.
Yes. Seeing her get back to everybody. Yeah. So keep an eye out for those articles. And I don't have an episode planned yet, but look for another Game on Girl episode in the next couple weeks too. So
cool.
Yeah.
Steven is editor and founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. They're gonna be blowing up with E3 news next week, right, Steven?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. So this is what I would recommend. So our content plans involve a number of things, but if you want to be like all in with us, you want to follow us on Instagram, that's Engage Family Gaming. You want to follow us on Twitter, that's at EF Gaming. And you want to follow our Facebook page, that's Engage Family Gaming on Facebook. If you really are down, you probably already listened to the podcast. We're going to be putting out 5 episodes of the podcast next week, one every day. We did hear your feedback. They were too long last year. They will be a half hour each day, so it'll be nice and quick. You get it done on your commute to work. It'll be fine. Also, that content will be posted up on YouTube so that you can consume it that way if you so choose. And yeah, those are the biggest ways. The other thing that I don't know that I told both of you guys is I have a new YouTube channel. I did this on a dare, but I'm throwing this out there because I'm just, you know, looking for those subs, you know. My so, but here's the game we're gonna play. I'm gonna tell you the name of my channel, and you're gonna tell me what I do. My YouTube channel is called Raising the Bar.
Okay, that's really generic.
Yeah,
but it is also perfect.
Is it adult? Is it adult games? Like not adult games. Like
I'll give you a hint.
Pants off.
It has literally nothing to do with video games. Or board games, for that matter. Nothing to do with gaming.
Well, you don't.
Does it have to do with your candy bar review the other day?
Yes.
Ah.
I review candy bars.
I was like, I know it's not drinking because Steven doesn't drink. So
nope, I don't. So I have a channel. It's called Raising the Bar. There's only one video on it, but it is my review of the Reese's Outrageous.
I don't know if you saw that, Regina.
I didn't see it.
He went live on Facebook reviewing this thing. And I like it popped up in my notifications like Steven's live, but it didn't say the little thing in the window said that what you were reviewing. So that's why I was like, oh, Steven's live. He must be talking about games. And I clicked on it. He's talking about a candy bar.
And she was like, what the hell is going on? And you know what? Here's the thing.
Well,
I got a lot of engagement on that video. So I was like, forget about it. I'm gonna do this. So my sister texted me on Saturday. That was Friday. On Saturday, my sister texted me and was like, hey, did you put that up on YouTube yet? And I'm like, I can't put it on my EFG channel. That's stupid. She's like, well, make a new one, duh. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I also would like to think that now that I am I produce lots of content about games and now also about food. I think that all I need to do is find like a hyper conservative friend to ask them questions. And then I'm basically Greg Miller Jr. Only older, less charismatic, but like I'm there.
You know? You have the glasses.
I do have the glasses. I do have the glasses. I'm also loud and obnoxious, just not quite as loud and obnoxious, but you know, but he's a special kind of loud and obnoxious.
Right.
His wife is lovely though. I met her at PAX. So, so that's my last thing. But that's really more of a joke, but if you want to follow it, follow it. I'm going to review candy bars every week. I have to figure out which one I'm going to do next.
Nice.
I'm going to let my 7-year-old pick it. it's going to be fun.
All right, cool. Okay, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll be back with you in 2 weeks with lots and lots of E3 news. Bye.
Bye. Bye.